Hello and welcome to the Apache Cassandra Corner, a community-driven podcast for all things Apache Cassandra. The Apache Cassandra Corner is sponsored by DataStax. I am your host, Aaron Pletz. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. With me today, I have Ekaterina Dimitrova. Ekaterina is a software engineer for DataStax, as well as a committer on the Apache Cassandra project. Ekaterina, welcome to the show. It's so great to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, why don't you just start by telling us a little about yourself?
So, a little bit about myself. I'm originally from Bulgaria, currently situated in the United States, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, working on the Cassandra projects the past maybe 2 years and a half, one year and a half. Joined the project in very interesting time when we were preparing for 4.0, the most stable version. Otherwise, about me, my education is in computer science and distributed systems. I've been working many years for Hewlett Packard in various positions before coming to the States. Maybe a bit about the free time. I'm really passionate everything about everything data, but at the same time, winter sports and lately piano a little bit.
Oh, cool. Yeah, you know, I'm into winter sports myself. You know, I tend to do a little skiing, and I grew up playing ice hockey. So yeah. What do you do specifically? Do you ski or skate?
I was a figure skater.
Oh, nice.
Yes, that was a great experience. But at some point, I switched to computer science more. But I'm also skiing. So.
Oh, hey, that's cool. Do you go downhill or cross country or a little of both?
Just downhill, probably.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's what I grew up doing too. Yeah. That's awesome. All right. So how did you get started with the Apache Cassandra project?
You know, started with a lot of mistakes, a lot of try error.
And right.
Asking people and going around, as I think that's a process. And
it's sure.
More than normal. No, jokes aside, it was a great experience because there is a really good, nice community. There is lots of information out there, but Cassandra is more than 10 years old, right?
And it's right.
So it's not everything is super easy. So, and we know that not everyone knows where to start or they need to ask more questions. So I am a person who is more of a doer. So I try to play with stuff. That's why I was joking, more like breaking and but yeah, it was a great time. It was 4.0, it was already the cold freeze time, but it was a time when we were really trying to ramp up on the quality, stability, and there were still a lot of outstanding things to
right.
And it was quite exciting when the time came.
Yeah, you know, I can tell you too that as a as a user of Cassandra for a very long time, I know that, you know, when I, in my last gig at Target, we had Cassandra 3 for a while there. And we ran on that for, I mean, probably a good 4 years. And it ended up being very, very stable. But, you know, you're right. We got to this point where it's like, oh, okay, 4.0 is coming. And then a year goes by. Oh, 4.0 is coming. Well, okay. Oh, 4.0 is coming. It just you're right though. It was one of those things where, you know, they really needed that approach to quality and stability to, I mean, get it in a state where it could be released. So yeah. You know, I definitely saw the results of that extreme effort on quality control and testing that went in. So yeah, that was very good. Yeah.
Yeah, we were looking actually at the patch releases during the year, and we didn't have any really huge troubles with for, like, if you look at the patch releases, which is quite good, and it's
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure.
And I know a lot of people already started with Foro. It's not that we don't have users on it or something. A lot of people upgraded. I think there were some Twitter posts or something where we were trying to get some information, and it seems a big percentage was already on Foro, which is really good and convincing. And I see a lot of people are coming and asking what's next and trying to get involved, which also means that it's quite alive. And
yeah.
Best is yet to come.
Yeah, you know, that's really, I think that's a good sign too, when you have people coming and saying, hey, this is really great. What's coming next? You know, and I know a lot of people are looking at, you know, down at like Cassandra 4.1 or maybe what's coming up in Cassandra 5. But I know that one thing that's very, very central to Cassandra, of course, is the JDK being written in Java. But you've done a lot of work in starting to look down that path of getting Cassandra toward Java 17, which is really, really cool if we could get to that point. What can you tell us about that?
Oh, we'll definitely get to that point. As we just mentioned, the quality and stability and how important they are for us. I made some proof of concept that maybe I submitted to the community around 10th of March.
Oh yeah, but yeah.
Phase 3 was about to start in May. So considering all the dependency management and all the closures on the JDK side of internals and stuff and security and a lot of changes that had to happen on our end, and that running on JDK 11 and 17 are bundled, there were dependencies, and also we need to be super careful with the performance, stability and everything. We figured it out that we'll do it for the next major release, 5 months probably. Yeah. But we already have a lot of progress, and this is become like deprecating, for example, the scripted UDFs that was already announced. So like the thing is that we also have to deal with the infrastructure, like we have 2 CI systems.
Right.
Yeah, which is also a lot of work that people just don't realize until they start. And when it's open source, you know, everything is volunteer, whoever has the time. And it's a lot of work, but it's quite promising. I'm not sure whether you saw that nice article with benchmarks from one of our community members who was trying to benchmark for, I think, on Java 16.
Oh, with a garbage collection, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what Jonathan was writing. I remember. Yeah.
Yes. So that one was really great and promising. So I'm quite positive and impatient already to see it in place. So stay tuned.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Now, I know that's you know, that certainly has to have its share of challenges when you're changing something or adapting to something as fundamental as a newer JDK. Are there any issues like with, hey, if we do it this way that Java 17 expects, is like Java 8 or Java 11 not going to work all of a sudden? Or are there some trade-offs around that?
So we are trying to be very careful with the dependency management, because just unfortunately for Java 17, we have to update way more dependencies than for Java 11, especially if we want to keep security and not to open a lot of internals, which is easy to do, but it's not fair to our users, of course, to do it. So the dependencies are shared between 11 and 17. So if we start doing upgrades, there are always risks and there are breakages. We saw, for example, we will have to do more work because when I upgraded it, it worked perfect with 11, not with 17. We will need to do some changes. There might be performance implications or other stuff. So we need to be extremely careful with those things, and they take time. And from what I saw for 17, we'll have way more dependencies upgrades than we had for 11, surprisingly or not, that's the case. And not all of them were also ready.
Right.
Some of them are also maybe even old and we need to change them. So there are implications here and there. And we had to deal with the removal of Nashor, and that's why we decided to do a bunch of changes around that.
Right.
And new things pop up until you start, you know, and you get your hands dirty. You don't know all the details. Sometimes you just need something.
Sure.
So we need to be careful not to hit the Java 11 stable version. So.
Right. No, yeah, that's important. We definitely want Java 11 to keep working. That's for sure. So you mentioned before, you know, about open source and, you know, kind of the thing where it's a lot of it is volunteer driven. I know that one thing I've seen coming through on the mailing list is kind of a need for what everyone's named kind of like build captains.
The build lead, I think it was.
Yeah. Can you maybe talk a little bit about that? What does that entail? You know, let's say I wanted to volunteer to, you know, kind of watch the builds for a week. What would that involve?
That's a very good question, actually, because I'm pretty much sure that most people can do it.
Okay.
The right understanding what it is behind it.
Yeah.
What I mean, we have that new really nice tool, Butler, which has data from Jenkins collected and provides reports, and we can link tickets directly there and stuff. So it's quite nice.
Okay.
And distributed systems, as we said, they're not easy. So distributed testing also is not easy, of course. We have thousands of tests. When something is just failing all the time, you know, you see it and it's easy. You go there and fix it. But we have that issue of flaky tests.
Right.
Some of them can fail once in 100 times and it's hard to spot. And some of them hide to really nasty bugs. So the idea is with that promise for stability and quality and everything, we really raise the bar around testing.
Sure.
We added, I don't know, that was some significant really percentage of tests that were added only for the last release. There was somewhere on the mailing list some statistic. But the thing is that we want to have as less as possible flaky tests, preferably zero.
Mm-hmm.
We can get there. So the idea of the build lead is that there will be a person who will be for 1 week just checking post commits there in Butler. If there is something that, you know, pops out here or there and opens tickets and just gets the information there, this takes maybe, I don't know, depends on how much we are in development and
right.
how much
right.
work is going there, you know, because when you have huge patches that are even in parallel, it's normal to see more and more issues to pop up. It's part of the development. But if it's a quiet period, it can take even like 10 minutes just to check.
Oh yeah, that's so, not so bad, huh?
It's not bad, and it's not hard, but at the same time gives you an idea of what's going on around the project. You see who is doing what where. It's also a good conversation starter, if you ask me.
Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. So, you know, kind of along that same line, what's a good way for someone who's you know, who wants to get involved, who wants to contribute to the project? What's a good way for them to start out, would you think?
I think there are really a lot of things that could be done, and not only from coding perspective, I always say it. And great thing. And we can hear from donation of hardware if you wish. Or anything if we talk about companies, to like just people getting their hands dirty with the build lead role, or just fixing some of the tests and trying to see what's going on. We have our starter tickets, low hanging fruit in Jira.
Yep. I've seen those. Yeah.
Yeah, actually, also we have bi-weekly report from one of our PMC members, Josh McKenzie. He's always listing there what are starter tickets, some references to docs, and where people can start.
Okay.
So I think the best is that we are available on Slack and mailing lists and stuff, and there is also a tag, Cassandra Mentors, which is like around 10, 12 people who said, yeah, I might have time to help whoever has some issue or question or anything, even to ask where to start.
Are they also on Slack then too?
Yes, there is a tag which is called Cassandra Mentors. So write the tag and say, hey, mentors, is there anyone to help me with this or that? And whoever is, because if you just approach one person somewhere, you know, they might have a vacation, they might be sick, too busy, everything.
Right.
But when you have just a tag for like more than 10 people, you get easier some response. And we also don't know everything. I don't think there is anyone who knows everything always. So the more people can see what's going on, the easier will be to get some support. Or okay. Just say hi.
Yeah, or just say hi. Yeah, no, that's good too. Absolutely.
A bunch of initiatives. There was also this advent calendar and starter tickets, which were really with some good descriptions and points where to start. And
okay.
Those things actually ended up like some new virtual tables, for example, where they're
one.
So people get a chance immediately to have some really meaningful contribution, which was great. Now there will be the Grace Hopper conference where Cassandra project was accepted. There will be an open source day, and whoever wants to attend it, that would be a day where you can start new contributions to an open source project. In this case, Cassandra will be there.
Yeah.
So it will be with the help of two mentors, in this case, me and Paolo Mota. We'll be providing some starter tickets and help to people to start. So I think those kind of things should be helpful.
Yeah.
At least I've seen it up to now that those things are helpful. But in general, I would say we have also like the blog post and user cases.
Sure,
if you want just to share your experience as a Cassandra user or seasonal, even if you want just to test some patches and stuff or do some performance testing or want to write docs. I've seen people who just start, they're reading through stuff and finding things that are unclear. They ask, they try to understand, and they fixed after that the docs.
That is a super huge help when somebody wants to come out and work on the docs. Oh yeah, that's I agree. That's really cool. Yeah.
We're actually in the middle of some migration, so that would be really helpful if someone is interested.
Oh, for sure.
Yes. So there are plenty of stuff. Even just doing research, you know. So there are plenty of opportunities. Even if you're more interested into infra stuff, you can help with setting up. Our CIO always has a need of different improvements or fixes or something. So there are plenty of things that people can do.
Oh, excellent. So okay, so you've worked on Cassandra 4.0. Cassandra 4.1 is close to being released, right? We're kind of close. And then with 5.0 on the roadmap, with all of these new releases coming, and the ones that have happened in the last year, what would you say is your favorite new feature?
I think everything is great that comes, to be honest. And the interesting part is that we had probably double the list that we implemented for what we want, and we still have other things to come. It's like there is so much energy there.
Yeah.
It's really great. So I think there are plenty of good new stuff. The good news are we really put a lot of effort in our blog, and most of the people already released some interesting blog posts around the different new features, improvements.
Right.
There is the guardrails, for example.
The guardrails. Oh, I love that one. I know that. Yeah, that one's awesome. Yeah.
I think operators will be really happy with that one. We'll save them some some problems. So that's a good one. There are a lot of improvements. There is a lot of pluggability, which opens the doors for new things.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there were new contributors actually who contributed to security. Also, I'm really, really excited.
Oh, hey, excellent. Actually, yeah. And, you know, improvements around security, I mean, everyone wants that. You know, that's definitely.
So there is barely probably any area that didn't get anything. Anything new and anything interesting there. Like sometimes it's hard to catch up on everyone.
Yes, for sure.
And as I said, there is plenty of stuff coming in, like the storage attached indexes and other stuff.
Oh, okay.
Accord. There are really a lot of things, and many more ideas are coming, which is also great. And there are also some community members which are really dedicated into getting rid of outdated things. So
oh, for sure. Yeah.
New tools are added. Like, there are a lot of stuff going on. Like, it's amazing.
Oh, excellent. All right. Well, Katarina, thank you so much for joining me on the show. You know, this has been really great. I think it's good for our listeners to, you know, hear a little bit about, you know, what goes on behind the scenes of that Apache Cassandra version that they're running. So just thank you for joining me and for sharing with us today.
Thank you for having me. It was great to be here, and always great to listen to your guests. So.
All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And that's all for today. Thank you for listening to the Apache Cassandra Corner. Apache Cassandra is a registered trademark of the Apache Software Foundation. Thank you, and have a great day.